Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry. That's much better. This man sinned before he was born. Or maybe it was he was being punished for a sin that would come later on in life. Maybe the sin was of his parents. Maybe they sinned so grievously that he was being punished for their sins. All these things, different questions. Today, we would call it karma. You reap what you have sown earlier in life. But as Christians, we know that there is no such thing as karma. It had nothing to do with the man's sin or his parents. But they kept asking why. Well, Jesus obviously would know the answer. It's just Jesus didn't give the answer that they were expecting. For you and I, it's very dangerous to try to determine the why that comes into our life. Even though you feel like it's your right to know, it's your life, why would this happen to me? It is a dangerous path to go down. You merely want to know that you're not to blame, or at least you're looking for someone else to blame for your misery. But that question, why, is just one more of Satan's tricks. He loves to see you fumbling about and worrying about anything else rather than looking to God or God's Word. Scripture gives us part of the answer to the why. When Adam and Eve sinned, all of creation, including mankind, was corrupted and poisoned by that sin. St. Paul describes it saying creation was subjected to futility. Creation was brought to nothingness. Many times, human suffering is merely brought about because of the corruption of creation. And other times, it's due to the corruption of mankind. The specific reason for the why, many times it is not revealed. Like the disciples, we continue to ask the why. But we need to listen to Scripture and trust that God is in control, regardless of what happens. The psalmist writes, "My times are in your hands." And further, the psalmist continues, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, obviously, sometimes bad things do happen in our lives because of our choices. You can look at drunk drivers, lazy workers, and adulterous spouses. Many times they reap the harvest of what they have sown. But many times they do not reap that harvest. If we look at someone with very, very poor health, quite possibly they are reaping the harvest of the food that they've eaten, their poor choices in lifestyle. But then again, someone else might have the exact same lifestyle and be healthy as a horse. We drive ourselves crazy searching for the why. We need to remember that where answers are given, it's okay to ask those questions. But many times the answer to the why falls within the hidden will of God, especially when the question is, why did God allow this to happen to me? If God hasn't revealed the answer in His Word, the search is not only fruitless, but the search is very, very dangerous. You see, when you don't get an answer for the why, many times you grow angry at God. You declare Him unfair. Then you begin to doubt His faithfulness. You doubt that He's His providence in your life. Then, if you pursue an answer that God does not give, sooner or later you're tempted to believe that that is God's answer, even when it's not. And all the while, Satan is just sitting back, wringing his hands and laughing, because he has you exactly where he wants you. Satan prefers that you run around chasing your tail, looking for answers, and not looking to God or His Word. You see, it's a slippery slope when we start seeking the answers that are not given. It's a quick slide from doubt down into unbelief. If we look at Scripture closely, we discover that we're nothing but beggars before our Lord. We are in need of a Savior, and we deserve far much less than what we already have. But we go back to the question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples were looking for that law answer. They were looking for the karma, cause and effect. Something had to have happened to make this man blind. But Jesus gives a gospel answer. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. The man's blindness is caused from living in a sinful and corrupt world. Bad things are going to happen. Bad things are probably going to happen to you. But Christ Jesus has come to redeem the world. He's come to reverse the curse of that sin. He comes into our darkened world to shine His light into all of the dark places, to show the works of God who sent Jesus onto the earth. Jesus spit on the ground and made mud, and He anointed the man's eyes and sent him off to the pool at Siloam to wash. And after he washed, the man could see. He had eyes that would see, but he also had eyes that would see with faith. He sees that Jesus is a prophet, and he is sent by God. So if we put it in a nutshell, Jesus' answer to the disciples, his answer to you is, stop trying to figure out the whys when God doesn't give the answer in Scripture. Instead, acknowledge that life is corrupted by sin, and then rejoice that Jesus has come into the world to reverse the curse of sin. That's His answer for you. Don't torture yourself searching for the answer that's not there, because it'll destroy your faith. Instead, acknowledge, I am a poor, miserable sinner, and I do need Jesus. I'm a sinner living in a broken and sinful world. And then look to what is sure and certain. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus hanging on Calvary's cross. That's where you find the answer. In Holy Scripture, you have eyewitness testimony that the Son of God came in the flesh of man and took your sin upon himself and put it to death on Mount Calvary. It is only by that death that sin can be reversed. Jesus hasn't abandoned you to a life and an eternity of suffering. No, he has come to reverse all of that. He has come to promise you that things will get better, not get worse. Jesus promises you that he has delivered you from sin and delivered you on into eternal life. And while you await that final resurrection to glory, he'll treasure using you to be an instrument that his works might be displayed in you and through you. Now, don't get me wrong. It's God's prerogative to work miraculous healings. And if it pleases him, he will work a miraculous healing. But the greater miracle that he works is the work of faith. Faith in the heart of the believer. You see, you can be physically healed in this world, but unless Jesus returns soon, your body is still going to die and will take you out and place you into the ground like we do with those who have died before us. But by faith, we know that that body will be raised again. By faith, we know we stand on Jesus' promise. Just as sure as Christ was raised from the dead, one day the dead in Christ shall also be raised to be joined with their soul and live with God in eternity. In your troubles, faith is a work of God on display in you. I'm sure you know the story of Job in the Bible. Job had everything, and Job had everything taken away. His friends came and they made fun of him and asked him why God had cursed him so. Job's wife came and told him to curse God and die. But Job, sitting there in ashes with sackcloth on, said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." After God still did not answer Job and the friends still harangued him, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." That's the work of God displayed in Job. Where everyone else only saw darkness and the curse of sin, Job shone the light of God's truth and faithfulness into a darkened world. And that's the way it is with you. In your suffering, people may see a God who's distant and uncaring. But the Lord displays his faith on you and through you. In your suffering, you cling to the answer that God gives most clearly in Holy Scripture. Say to yourself, "I don't know why I've been called to suffer. I don't know why I've been given this cross to bear, but I do know that Jesus came into the world and he hung on the cross until he was dead so that I might be resurrected into eternal life, so that my sins might be forgiven. In his time, yes, the Lord will deliver me from my suffering. If he returns soon, good for me. If it is a long, horrible suffering, thanks be to God. He is merciful, and he does give mercy on his people. In the meantime, I know that he loves me, and he is with me. Rejoice that the Lord has not forsaken you, but he forgives you. As he declares in our text, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Yes, Jesus has ascended into heaven, but he remains in the world, and he comes to you in his means of grace. He is that light of the world, saving you from the darkness of sin and death. As sure as Jesus added his word to the mud and anointed the man's eyes, Jesus added his word to the water in holy baptism for the forgiveness of your sins and to give you faith to believe in him. As sure as Jesus spoke his saving word to the blind man, he speaks his saving word to you through his gospel, strengthening your faith that you might believe in the Son of Man like the blind man in our text. Jesus comes to you to feed you with his body and blood given and shed for you so that his work of faith in you might continue to grow and be displayed in you. We struggle with many questions in this world about suffering, and many of them will remain unanswered. But the Lord makes this answer perfectly clear. He has declared that he is the light come into darkness. He has hung on the cross and raised from the dead for your sin and for your salvation. He has gone to the cross so that you might rise again and be delivered into everlasting life. So we don't seek answers that God doesn't give. You cling to his truth that he makes clear above all other answers. He bled for you and died for you to forgive you all of your sins. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.